The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Right about now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul,
Colin Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Jettis.
Jettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you. What the fuck is happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis. It's Tuesday the 3rd of November. I will never get that right initially off the bat. I never check it correctly. I have the sound recorder is on this wee tiny stand quite low. I might have to raise it up where I can talk pure loudness. That was decent. That would get me... Oh my god. I'm in the wee back office here, right, where it's like... It's essentially been added onto the house like a mud hut, and it's freezing. So I've got this wee heater that me and Maureen got. Jesus Christ. Me and Maureen got when we lived in Glasgow, because the flat we lived in was a bottom floor tenement flat, which you could see your... You took a piss and it was like you were putting your head over a fucking pot of pasta. You were like... You would turn into an elephant. That was good elephant noise. You can see steam off your own piss is what I'm saying. You know? So we bought this wee heater for that flat. And now I've got it in this wee back office. It's great. But it's one of the, it's one of those things, like, you know, when you get in a bath and you run the hot bath and you get used to the heat. That's what I'm like now. So I could have this heater on and the second I turn it off, like, it's chilly. Whereas a stranger could walk in the room and be like, Jesus, what the fuck? Is there a small barbecue going on in here? Oh. Anyway, terrible start, as usual. Yes, today is the 3rd of November. We're actually on time this week. Sorry about last week. Didn't get one up at all. That's what she said. Did it go up Wednesday? I think basically because I was recording it the day after my birthday, I was hungover as shit. And I actually just kind of stopped at mid-flow. I literally just went, and then bloody blah, blah, that happened. Hit the stop button. Picked it up the next day when I could be fucked, which is the problem with podcasting, sitting on by yourself in a room. Some days you have it, some days you don't. Do you have it today, Colin? Yes, I do. I just had two poached eggs and a fake bounty out of Lidl and we're partying. That's how fat I've got. I even need desserts with my fucking breakfast. And what time is it? It's 12 o'clock. I stayed up to about 6 o'clock on Halloween night, and I don't think I've quite recovered from it. Anyway, let's ply on. What did I do last week? Absolutely nothing. I recorded that podcast late. The rest of the week was spent just on the dark side of the comedy business, which is like, you know, chasing up fucking... That's too warm now. Jesus Christ. Chasing up fucking invoices and organising things and... Making little fucking, like, posters for things and, you know, all this kind of shit. One of them being, there's going to be another bookshop gig, guys. Remember we did one in the book reserve? There's going to be another one the 28th. Probably told you that last week. Could it be arse remembering? No, I couldn't. I couldn't! Last week's podcast... I don't know, hopefully I got away with it. What did I do last week? Nothing. Just things got in my way, you know what I mean? I was supposed to go to the John Kavanagh seminar for the jiu-jitsu seminar at the newly crowned SBG Belfast, which I couldn't make it to, which I'd already paid for, which absolutely crushed my dick. And then I found out they're doing like a blue belt test, and I was like, Jesus Christ. You know, am I a blue belt level? Probably not, but you know, you like to be in the mix. I might have had a good day, you know, like a driving test. You know, some dickheads passed their test first go. I could have been one of those ones. They could have just had a good day. John Kavanagh looks over when I just beautifully sweep someone and get on top of them. And he's like, yeah, he looks like a blue belt. And you get a blue belt. Alas, is that even the word? I didn't go, so it's my own fault. Which is hard to see photos of this brilliant big seminar going on when you're looking at the fucking door wrap and the big poster at the back and the big design on the tarp on the mats, and you're going, I fucking did all that. I did all that fucking work. The poster outside, I did that too. Unreal, couldn't even go. What a spastic. Angry at myself. Angry. Pure anger. But anyway, it seemed to go pretty well. Judging from his Facebook, he was all like, oh, proud to open up SBG Belfast. So if you want to go do some jiu-jitsu, or I believe they're doing striking and judo classes and takedowns and all that bollocks, go to it. Absolutely go to it. I hope you all had a great Halloween. It was Halloween there on Saturday, wasn't it? Huh? I basically did fuck all. I had a slow week, guys. I just didn't do anything. I just couldn't be fucked. You know? And then just, Maureen was out doing makeup all day Saturday, and I just lounged. Just fucking lounged. The rugby came on. I'd watched so little of it the whole tournament that it was like, even this, I can't be arsed with. New Zealand and fucking Australia. I was like, oh, who gives a fuck? Watched it. Watched bits of it. It was alright. Like, just indifferent. If I had to describe my attitude, that obviously New Zealand won. And then they had that beautiful moment at the end where Sonny Bill Williams gave his medal to some wee kid. Fair play to that cunt who... that full jobs were... Like, he was... The teams weren't the only ones up for the fucking... Up for the final. He was like, this is the final, mate. I don't take any shit. I'm the best fucking crowd steward in the world. And any cunt walks on the pitch, I'm gonna fucking kill him. I don't know why I'm doing that accent. It was in England. He's probably English. But for the purpose of the drill... Let's just let him be Australian. So he's like, yeah, fucking. So the kid runs on. He's like, not my fucking. Not on my fucking watch, you can't. And he just bails at him and just floors this kid. And to be fair, the kid just pops up like it happened to him. Happens to him all the time. And then Sonny Bill Williams, who, you know, as much as I love tits and arses on women, I'd fuck that guy. You tell me, you take a look at him and tell me if there's anything wrong with that fella. I just probably got a like, fucking piece on him too, you know what I mean? Like a totem pole with notches and fucking things carved into it and Maori tattoos, which just stands fully erect when he does the haka. Here's if you want to laugh, right? Here's what you do if you want to laugh. Google... Or YouTube, like the haka from like the 60s. It's very funny. It's not the big V formation shit you see now, but they're all like, and everyone knows the moves. It's like, you look at the like 60s haka, it looks like they're doing the Macarena. Like just lads that look like Ron Burgundy with a moustache. Just, hey, just chilling out, boys. Oh yeah. Fucking right, playing. Rugby. And that's it. Hey, at the end. The least threatening thing ever. And then they're like, guys, this is kind of, you know, I don't want to say it, but it's kind of gay and soft, okay? So what we're going to do is we've all watched the movie Step Up, okay? Step Up 2, Back to the Streets, or whatever it's called. And this cunt who looks like the Predator is going to teach us the dance now. Here we go. And everyone's terrified. And, you know, I'd get right into it if I was playing against New Zealand. I'd get super hyped up and be right in their fucking face. Blood, not like crazy. You know the way like Tyson used to come out with a full sweat when he was boxing? And everyone else would come out in that little silk fucking robe. Where'd that come from? Like, get a wee silk robe on you. Tyson came out sweating. Like, fuck this, I've been warming up. I'm gonna punch this cunt's head in the fucking orbit. You know? Amazing. That's why I'd be like already covered in mud. Bleeding. If I was in the Rugby World Cup, I wouldn't shower the whole time. That would be my thing. Which might be alright because you probably get put out in the first round. But, you know, you could be standing there just like already dirty. Just like, fuck this. I do this all day, bitch. Up on their faces. Tongue out, no. And then, of course, they just hammer you 90-0. But, you know, you gotta get right in their face. It's all a fucking... It's all smoke and mirrors, really, isn't it? We're going to wear all black and do a dance. Oh my God, that's terrifying. It's still rugby. It's like when rappers go on there, yeah, motherfucking guns and all this shit. And you're like, mate, you still a singer. Okay? Oh, I'm hard as fuck. You singing. Yeah, we're the big scary all blacks. Yeah. They're all fucking scary. You know, let the big dopey looking Welsh cunt run at you and see if it feels any different to win some all black all covered in tattoos. Like Sonny Bill Williams with his dick tied to his leg with some palm leaves.
Kids in the way sometimes have to tie to my leg. Got an enormous cock. My balls are ceremoniously tied inside my anus in case I get caught in any brush. I could get all of New Zealand pregnant with my penis.
Anyway, move on. So watch that match, and then we had there was a Halloween party down at girlfriend Maureen's parents' house, which was split into two parts. Mainly, it was kind of like the kids of the family were like all fucking about and played a few games myself. The old, by the way, a lot of the games were based on the show, the Almost Impossible Game Show, which if you haven't seen, let me tell you, is a fucking riot. I think it's on BBC, is it on BBC 3 or fucking E4? It's on some shit like that, ITV2, I don't know what the fuck it's on, but it has the rubber band that's basically sort of commentating over these people doing the most ridiculous fucking tasks you've ever seen. You know, so like, there's a guy blindfolded and there's a tiny little chair in the middle of this big circle and he has to walk around and put his arse on the chair, but he has no idea where it is. So this guy's blindly trying to sit on a chair even though he's 10 feet away from it. It's very funny. Or like, you know, what other shit is there? Like, they run on a giant treadmill and they have to like jump up and bite a fucking donut or something like that. It's so stupid, but because of rubber band, it's talk over it. It's very funny. Yeah. So basically, girlfriend Maureen's mum was making these games for these kids, and we did the chair one, which watching me trying to sit on a tiny chair was hilarious. I ended up just falling over and nearly smashing it to pieces. But sure, banter, weren't the kids laughing, huh? Big fat Colin sat in a chair and it disappeared up his asshole. Oh, the crack. So that was kind of like the kid half of the party. Listen to this for banter, right? This is probably completely illegal, but do you care? It's the country where many things go unseen, including racism and incest. So we're basically, they had a big bit of land, sort of waste sort of land at the back of the house. Rubbly bricks. And there's a big pile of stuff that her dad had got. And was going to just do a big bonfire. Which is probably more fun than like fireworks. And by this stage, you know, I wasn't even dressed up at this stage. We went down early in the night. We went down about 6:30, you know. We were able to go back and get changed and come back down. To start, I say the adult party, like it was some sort of orgy. You know, we just had drinks, but you could go up and get changed and come back, and it was, you know, 9:30. So by this stage, I'm just in regular gear. The fire is lit. Everyone's standing around. Isn't this lovely? Her dad had obviously had a couple of beers in him already. And he's like, come on, we'll throw some fucking... Have you any tins of deodorant or something? Throws like a tin of deodorant on the fire. It goes... Everyone's like, oh my God, it was class. It then starts to get slightly out of hand. He's like, oh, I've got an empty tin of paint here. WD-40. And I was like, oh my God. This is going to fucking kill somebody. It was all done under, you know, reasonable safety. We were far enough away where it's like, we're not going to die. Just cover your eyes when it pops. So the fucking, you know, we throw the WD-40 in. You can hear it sizzling. And it burnt away the wee silver bit at the top. And then it sort of just went on fire. And we're like, he's like, ah, shit. Goes and gets another thing, throws it in. And an empty tin of spray paint. And then the tins got more and more obscure. It went from like WD-40 spray paint to like, what was it? Like the fucking, that sort of black spray sealer shit that you would spray on the underside of a car. And it just got more and more. And then to the point where we run out of stuff and Wayne ran up to her house and got like old, like, you know, like a giant tin of hairspray and threw it in the fire. And it fucking, it's actually on my Instagram and Facebook if you want to see it. The fucking explosion, it goes to show you like how dangerous some of that shit really is. You know, if you're like, oh, don't leave. Well, you're not really supposed to be throwing them in open fires, to be fair. But throw that in and it fucking, you almost seen a bang off it. Like, it was insane. No wonder you're not allowed them on planes. I get it now. And even those ones are like tiny, like about the size of a fucking Mars bar. Honestly, you throw that shit on, it just fucking douche. And everyone like ducks onto the car, like, what the fuck? And this mushroom, it's like mushroom cloud just fucking shit flying through the air. And it literally, it like blew a crater in the middle of this fire. It was fucking awesome. And then of course we just drank late into the night. And I didn't know what to go, like, wear at Halloween. But then just happened to find this fucking, it was like a Frankenstein mask, which is obviously for a kid, that a kid puts on, and it makes them have a large bulbous head, like, of course, Frankenstein. Not when I put it on, guys. The big man's head filled it. So this fucking Frankenstein head was just perfect, just fit in my head. The ears slotted right over my own ears, and it was perfect, apart from there was no ventilation in it. So two or three times during the night you would have to take it off and just wipe the sweat off your head, which I know is gross. I do apologize for having to tell you that, but it's like latex and there's nowhere for the fucking, for any heat to go, and your head just starts sweating, and you take it off and it's like someone poured a fucking glass of water under it. Oh, it's brutal. Got my face done, cut my jeans up and all, felt special. It's good. It's good crack though. Then we Begley joined us and all, and then we just stayed up to like, jeez, it's been a while since I did like a fucking half five, 6 o'clocker, like, Jesus Christ. And I wasn't even drinking that heavy, but in fact, I wasn't really drinking heavy at all. I only had a few beers, but see that lateness, that's what fucks you right up. You know what I mean? You could, these are two things that would make you feel the same. You could go to bed at 6 a.m. after 7 or 8 bottles of beer, which you started drinking at fucking 9. You could do that and you wake up and you go, oh my God, I feel like shit. That feels the same as if you had 15 bottles of vodka and went to bed at 11 p.m. There are your two, that's your two fucking extremes there. You literally, when you've stayed up that late, in fact, you ever just stay up really, really late and you're not even drinking and you wake up and you're like, I may as well have drank because I don't think a hangover would have felt as bad on top of this as whatever else. That's how I felt. And then we just, what did we do Sunday? Fuck all. Fuck all, bro. Just sat about, you know, I filmed a Bestie McD. It's online if you want to check it out. The sound's a bit fucked up, which I regret. But what can you do? You can still hear it. It's all about the jokes anyway, isn't it? check it out, folks. Good times. So did that, and then last night we got a chippy on Sunday night. Oh my god! Why do you always, that's the worst thing you can do for a high. Do you know when people say, oh, stop drinking and lost a load of weight? The reason you lose weight is probably not the drinking. It's probably the eating you do around the drinking. Because I used to smoke and drink. And when I smoked and drank, it's kind of you're more interested in just smoking cigarettes and having more drinks. See, now that I've stopped that, you have a certain amount of drinks and you're like, right, who's getting the kebab pizzas or what's the fucking crack here, boys? And that's probably what kills me now. If I didn't drink, I wouldn't eat half the shit. So the next day after the hangover, we go down and eat the... By the way, the food at this fucking party was retarded. Someone made this fucking... It was Maureen's... What is it, uncle or something? I don't know. But he made this fucking... It was like a sausage... He said casserole, and then he's like, no, it's not casserole, it's like cassoulet or something. It was all like... You know, carrots and fucking lentils and beans and carrots and chorizo and some sort of chorizo. And then sausages, and then it was like half a broth, half a fucking stew thing. But Jesus Christ, it was unbelievable. Very, very tasty. So we had that the next day, and then everyone's like, oh, whatever. And all them girls are watching fucking movies and sleeping. I was like, listen... You can do that because you're like, we cute girls. I'm just gonna ball up on the sofa and have a sleep. Not this guy. You know? I need a locked door with my trousers off, slobbers going everywhere, and probably an erection. I can't fall asleep on a wee sofa. So I come up, did my video, had a wee sneaky nap, and then there was just talk later of like, oh yeah, do you want to get a chippy? You're like, yeah, all right. And then we go to the local chippy down here in the sticks, which... I gotta say, right, when you live down in the country, there's probably an element of, oh, that's a really lovely chippy, or that's a really lovely Chinese. And you're like, yeah, because it's the only Chinese, that's why you're saying it's good. You know, if you lived in a slightly more densely populated area, you would realise that the Chinese is shit. The chippy, don't even fucking talk to me about the chippy. I was in it one time before, and I was like, hi, can I get a chicken fillet burger? Aye, no bell.
No bell.
This is the standard thing in a chippy, isn't it? Do you want a chicken fillet burger? Yes, no problem. Turn anything else? Fish supper? No sweat. The burger is then ready, and the girl goes, what would you like on it? And you go, everything, love. Put everything on it. No onions. What sauce do you want? What do you have?
Taco mayonnaise, garlic sauce.
And you pick whatever you want. Bang, there's your burger. Not in here. I can I get a chicken fillet burger? Yes, no problem. Just hands me the bag. I'm like, oh, is that it? And I leave, and it's literally the burger in a bap. And I was like, what the... That is not the... What's the word? Anyway, that is not the correct behaviour in a chippy. You crazy bit. You make it, you ask me what I want on it. You don't just take my whole order in one go. Like, I was supposed to go, hey, can I get a chicken fillet burger with all the salad and blah, blah, mayonnaise and all that? You should have fucked that up too. We go in the second time. You know, and everyone orders their different shit. I was like, can I get some sort of sliced chicken supper? Now, I'd been at, of all places, Mickey Bartlett's family home one time. And he got this sliced chicken, it's like slices of chicken breast on chips with a bit of curry. I was like, perfect. What I ended up getting was like this full squishy battered thing that she just stabbed with a fucking paint scraper. Put it on some chips, and then the curry was like, initially I tasted it, I was like, I think they might have put gravy in that bag. Is that gravy instead? Listen to me complaining about a shit fucking chippy in the country. I'm like, what the fuck? What is that? That's gross. And then, and the more you add it, it was like, this isn't even, you know what it tasted like? And this is another fat boy reference. Am I not supposed to be some guy who's like, oh, I'm big into my food, guys? I'm just telling you about a nightmare I had with a chippy. It was like, did you ever get the McDonald's curry? Those little things? Those little cubes of fucking sauce? That's what it was like. If you can imagine, she emptied 13 of them all over the chips. Wasn't great, guys. Did I really just go off on one there for about 2 minutes about a bad chippy? I did. These things mean a lot to me. I'm a mess. Let's move on, because I feel slightly embarrassed now, to be honest with you. God damn it. Oh, here's what I've seen. Last night we decided to go to see Spectre, the James Bond film. We went to Armagh, of all places, which was seemed to be the best idea, time-wise. Armagh Cinema. It's weird me going down there, because it's right beside the theatre where I've played twice. The first time I had a lovely experience. I was like, this is great. I'm warming up for the Fringe. Great experience. Everyone seemed to enjoy themselves. I sat around after talking to people. Thought I'd book it again for the year after. I go back. One of the single worst fucking gigs I've ever had in my life. In the same venue. You're like, what happened here? How did it go from, you know, first of all, and there was about half of the amount of people there. I was like, right, there's like half the people here. Everyone's hating it. You know, what's going on here? This is terrible. Not enjoyable. It was not enjoyable, guys. And I won't be back. And in fact, that whole last tour I did just put me off doing that sort of thing again. You know? And then I see the likes of Shane Todd, fair play to him, sold out fucking Mandela Hall the other week. And you're like, fuck me. That's unreal. I'll never be able to do that. I couldn't sell out, you know, the Ardoan Theatre's fucking gallery bar. Another one of the worst gigs I've ever done. In fact, that whole little tour were some of the worst gigs I've ever done. Which is weird, because it was at a time when I had all new material and all, and I thought, this is fucking, you know, this should be better, but whatever. It's almost put me off comedy completely, but maybe just in this country. I'm not sure. I think maybe because I'm spoiled with Lavery's. I just think there's nowhere really better to do stand-up. Why would you go to fucking Enniskillen? No harm to you, folks. Saying that, I've had a few good gigs in Enniskillen, but then all of a sudden you go to... Anyway, I'm getting off topic here. What am I talking about? Oh yeah, going to Armagh. Which is a... you have mixed emotions about. So what I'm trying to say is, you obviously need to go and buy like a retarded amount of sweets. So we go to Lidl, which is the only thing open on the way. Turns out that's great, because they sell those fake bounties that I was talking about earlier. It's like a bounty, but it's better. And you get them in a sack. So we go in there, we buy all around us. It was a typical one of those, you know, when it was like, yeah, we're going in for sweets, and then you end up doing a small shopping. Can't we need milk? Yes, we do. Let's get milk and bread. I'm going to buy some cereal. Buy this 20 pack of eggs. And we'll buy, and you end up fucking, it's like half a shopping. And then we did buy all these fucking sweets. And had the weirdest exchange that almost felt awkward and borderline violent on the way out. You know, like, we're paying for the stuff, and we're like, right, Maureen, get a couple of bags. The guy behind the till goes, oh, you can get a wee box there if you want. And there's like boxes, you know, at the back there if you wanted to just pile the stuff in a box rather than buy a bag. And we're like, cheers, mate. So we pack all the bag. I paid for it, and I was standing there going, I was like, where's the milk? Did we not buy milk? One of the few things that we needed. Where's the milk? Maureen's like, I know, where's the milk? And Susie was there too, her sister. Like, where's the fucking milk here? And the guy behind us, this wee old man, he has a thing of milk. And I'm like, is that your milk? And he's like, what? And I was like, is that your milk or is that our milk? And he's like, no, that's my milk. And I was like, all right, sorry, we've lost our milk. And then the boy on the till is like, it's on the bloody receipt there. And I'm like, well, I fucking see it. Almost cracking up. And then I hook through the box. I'm like, oh, right, there it is. It was, you know, those shallow sort of tomato boxes that you would get? It was literally on its side with another thing set on it. And I was about to tear the place apart. Where's my fucking milk? Where's my milk? What did you do, my milk? Grabbed an old man by the neck. Do you have my milk, you bastard? I'll fucking stab you. What a shit story. Let's move on to Spectre. Shite.
It wasn't shite, but there was. Oh my god! It's like, when did films with a U, films, start going from like, I always thought films were like an hour and a half long, and then you go see one and it crept into like an hour and 40, 45, and you're like, Jesus, that's long as shit. Now all films are like 2.5 hours long as standard, and you're like, oh fuck. Went to see this movie, right? The start's really cool. That song with fucking Sam Smith in it, the credits are cool, although I feel like some, how am I gonna explain this, sometimes, because I'm big into things like that, I was big into it at uni, like intros and graphics and stuff like that, which I think is a thing that fucks a lot of people's videos up. You know, you make a nice video and then all of a sudden you just use like stock text that's in Final Cut and it looks like dog shit. Guys, you need to get on the After Effects and fucking Photoshop and start making your own fucking graphics. Take it to the next level, guys. So, I fucking, there's something about the start where it was like, it feels like it was too much CGI type shit going on. You know, if you look at those old Bonds and stuff, where it was, what's your guy, Saul Bass or whatever? And even he even did films like Casino. Like, watch the opening to Casino. Tell me that shit's not fucking extraordinary. But it's still very filmic, you know what I mean? It's still shot on film, and it's real things cut together beautifully. Sometimes when it gets a bit fucking, you know, it starts to get a wee bit fucking CGI, I feel like it dates a bit more. You know, because the CGI next year will be better than the one you've seen this year, and you'll be like, oh, that looks like dog shit. Anyway, let's move on. You know, what was on TV the other night? Casino Royale. Watched the intro to that. I was like, that looks dated already. That was in and around the time Casino, fuck's sake, Kasabian had that Shoot the Runner video, which is a great video, but it was in and around the time when everyone was jumping on that rotoscope type vibe. Alright, Colin, stop talking like a fucking asshole about graphics. You don't even do it, really? Dickhead. Right. Oh yeah. Spectre. So like, it's good. And I mean, you keep seeing all these people on fucking TV being interviewed about it. That black girl, I forgot her name. She's being interviewed about the movie. She's in it for about 3 scenes. You know, they're interviewing that wrestler, Batista, or whatever. He's in it for a fucking while. You know, Christopher Waltz, what the fuck his name is? I'm a dodgy bastard. You know, he's in it for a bit, and then a bit at the end, and it, you know, it's kind of like the start was cool, and then just a lot of fucking about. And then, you know, there's a few fights, and the bit where he escapes from the place, when he's about to get his neck drilled. It's pretty cool, and then whatever, and then the end one was quite good, but it's just like, that could have easily been an hour long, you know what I mean? It's just, maybe I'm just not in the Bond. It's the same as like any of the, I don't know, I just don't like films. I don't even know what sort of films. I think it's because I genuinely just like silly, funny films. I can't be arsed with these big explosion-y type fucking things. And then the trailer for Star Wars was on. Fuck. Sneeze. The trailer for Star Wars was on and I was like, I don't give a shit about that either. Haven't seen the other ones. It's probably sitting people at home, you haven't fucking seen it, bro. What am I gonna do? Watch it now? Same as the Disney things. Maureen making fun of me. Oh my god, you haven't seen Pocahontas? No. I'm 30 as fuck, mate. I'm not gonna watch it now. However, I will watch like Superbad and piss myself laughing. Anyway. Even that dates pretty quickly. 32 minutes, right? I've talked about a pile of shit. Colin's review of Spectre. I'd give it a 10 out of 10 for effort. I hate shitting on things that are huge production, but it's like, I just don't know. Rafe, what's his name? Rafe Fiennes? It's Ralph, you cunt. Use your real name. He is a based actor, though. You know the rest of, and by the way, Daniel Craig just looks creepy now. He's got that like long old man lip. He's got that long lip. And there's a bit where he's like trying to go with that girl. Fuck, what's her name? She's like a middle-aged Italian woman, but she would still get absolutely pronged. What's her name? I forget. But he's like, you know, at her, the funeral of her husband or something, who he killed. And he's all like, yeah, and he's like fucking kissing her, and they're trying to have this conversation. They're trying to have this conversation, and I don't know what context, I wasn't really listening, but it's like, your husband was in, and they're doing this half kiss, half talking thing, and I just laughed out loud in the cinema. I was like, what the fuck's going on here? I'm James Bond, take my raping. Danny, bam, Danny, bam, bidding, that's not for me, I don't think. The bit at the end, he drives off in the old Aston Martin that the wee fucking nerd boy's been making for him. That was a good bit. Spoiler alert. Let's move on to news. I'd just like to say that this week, I'm 100% fucking fed up with the internet. Last week, I talked about the video where there's like some girl getting fucking abused by like an Irish guy, and he's like, you're a fucking slut, are you not a fucking slut, look at the fucking state of you, the old hair does look a fucking slut. And then some, you know, in quotes, feminist, you know, aka let's make her look a bit like a fucking smelly lesbian sheet teenager, comes along and conveniently bottles him on the head with a fucking sugar glass bottle of wine. Which, by the way, BTW guys, no matter what he said there, which he 100% shouldn't have been saying, if this was real, she would go to jail. Do you know what I mean? You could stand there all day going, you're a fucking wanker, mate. You're a fucking like you, you fucking slut. No, you could do that all day. But as soon as you like crack up and stab someone, you still stab someone. You know, sticks and stones, you break my bones, but if you stab me, you know. I don't know where that was going. Anyway, just things like that drive me fucking mad. Turns out it's a social experiment. Oh, really? Oh, good. You know, these clips like, oh my god, watch how this woman reacts after being mugged. Guy stops on a scooter, runs along, grabs her bag, runs away. And she does this, looks at him, looks at the scooter, looks at him, looks at the scooter, runs to the scooter, jumps on it, drives away. And you're like, yeah, it's fake. That didn't happen, you fucking idiots. You know? Dog saves baby from fucking trash can. Now, if that was real, amazing. I'm looking at the pictures and it's clearly fake. You know, I've used Photoshop long enough to be able to look at that and go, yeah, that looks pretty much fake. It looked fake, you know, and is a baby in that condition alive even? You know, it looked very premature. I don't know. I'm just sick of the fucking internet. People taking pictures from one thing, like this Palestinian girl was fucking shot by Israeli police because they thought she was carrying a knife and bloody, bloody, blah, blah. And you're like, how do you know? You're sitting in your fucking house in West Belfast giving off about this shit because of a picture you've seen on the internet. I have no doubt that whole area is in absolute fucking turmoil. But, you know, it's this fucking, you know, something needs to be done about this. Bloody blah. This is, and you're like, you don't know what's happening in that picture at all. You don't know whether, it's happened before. You know, something happened somewhere and they were like, how come, you know, what the Western world cares about this, but they don't care about this. And when they showed a picture of like, you know, like hundreds of bodies lined up outside a school, they're like, they care about this, but they don't care about these group of people killing all these people. And then it turns out the photo that they were posting was from a fucking like fire that happened somewhere in a like a fucking school in Africa. Don't get me wrong, absolute tragedy. But the story that you've pinned to that photo is a complete lie. you know, these people are killing these people, but then the Israelis are also killing these African people who died in a fire somewhere else. You know, the internet drives me fucking mad. Anyway, let's move on, guys. Did anybody see the bloody the video of McGregor fighting the Mountain from Game of Thrones? I'll have Thor, what's his name? No, cracks me up about that cunt. Have you ever seen him? I'm pretty sure he's only like 25, and he's enormous. Absolutely. How do you have a six pack when you're like 7 foot and 400 pounds? Like, McGregor's moving around and nipping about and bang, hitting him in the stomach, moving. But at any second, the guy's basically being gentle because it's like, you know, I don't want to fall on this guy and kill him. And he's worth a lot of money. But Jesus Christ, what a fucking giant. Although McGregor, I see this fight's coming up in December and McGregor Aldo, and I keep seeing clips of Aldo. I'm worried, is all I'm saying. You know, it shows you McGregor in the gym and he's spinning kicks and he's moving well with the other guys. Like, you know, you're going to have to be quicker than that boy. And the guy's trying to hit him and he's ducking and moving and all that shit. And he looks great, looks so slick. But then I keep seeing videos of Aldo just booting the fuck out of everybody. And you're like, oh, that's a different level of fucking violence. However, we'll see. I'm excited. I feel like I haven't watched a good fucking UFC in quite a while. You know, that Dublin one was a bit of a boner crusher, like, but we'll see. Right, I've talked for 40 minutes. We've a lot of questions here this week. Cheers for sending them in. I didn't do any last week because I couldn't be fucked. And I forgot about it. By the way, if you're thinking of doing anything Wednesday night, please come to Lavery's Comedy Club. We have the one and only Tim McGarry headlining. Who you haven't seen, if you haven't seen, is unbelievable as a stand-up comedian. As usual, people sort of get stuck in these things, me included, of like, you know, you watch fucking, you know, someone by something they did years ago, oh, fucking Hold the Wall Gang and all. And I know the BBC did it to death, but you know, as a political satirist, he's fucking unreal. He did it last time. Everyone loved it. So if you want to come along to that, listen to the fucking lineup. Listen to this lineup. Tim McGarry headlining. We have Rory Ward, who's doing a spot. I haven't seen him generally in a while, but he's gigging there. He runs McHugh's Comedy Basement over at McHugh's, obviously. What's it called? Comedy Live or something. Funny guy, Teresa Livingstone is doing support. She is on a tear at the minute. Everyone loves her. Plays the piano, sings songs. Very, very funny. And then Mickey Bartlett's like, here, can I have a spot? And I was like, yeah, do a fucking spot whenever you want me. And then it turns out I'm going to get him to MC because I need to collect footage for a new video for Labs. So he's going to MC and I'll do a wee spot. Good times or what, guys? Huh? Unfucking believable for £6. The lineup's consistently shit on everyone else's lineups in Belfast. Suck my dick, Queens. Right, let's move on with some questions here. So that's Wednesday night, the 4th of fucking November. Good lads. Let's rattle through these Twitter questions. Benji Hunter, 97. Favourite thing about school and why? Rugby, probably. School is weird, because, like, I don't know what they're fucking breaking. Like, you get up every day, just that up every day, grind of school. You know, it's like going to a job you don't like for 7 years. If that was real life and it was a job, you'd be like, I'm not going to this fucking stupid shit. Suck my dick. Probably just playing rugby. And it was fun. Like, at school, it was funny. You know, I remember just thinking back about school. Like, I remember just, like, hanging out at, like, lunchtime or whatever. Just, and everyone was just fucking back and forward, slagging each other. And it was hilarious. Opinions on Stone Roses announcing they're going on tour again from Ethan Halfpenny. Couldn't give a shit, bro. I'm not into it. Not into it at all.
Ding 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 ding.
Cool, you have a riff. Who gives a shit? Not into it at all. Mike Brannan, are you a comedian? Because there's a picture of you doing stand-up at the pavilion there. What do you make of Northern Irish comedy scene as a whole, good or bad? I mean, compared to other cities, it's fucking shit. But it's improving. I'll give you that. Don't know how many times I've talked about, you know, they've basically had that, you've had that wave of Keelty, Colin Murphy, Jake O'Kane, whoever. And then there's a gap of fucking 30 fucking years. And then you have, you know, a time when probably like Mickey and Paddy McGackie and Graham Watson or Liam Watson and all these guys were starting this sort of open mic comedy wave again. And then everyone sort of, you know, and then Shane and Sean and maybe I jumped in there at some stage. And that movement is sort of slowly coming up. Them boys are killing it at the minute. Shane sold out the fucking Mandela Hall. Sean's got his Rodney thing. He's selling out shows all over the fucking place. He also got engaged the other day, according to Facebook, him and Deona. Congratulations, guys. Watch you don't have beautiful, beautiful children, you two dicks. What was I going to say? What else? Oh, yeah. So you got that movement. And now it's got to the point where, you know, I'd have known everybody that fucking did stand-up about 2 or 3 years ago. And now you go to, like, the odd time I did that, like, Yardbird open mic, headlined that. There's all these guys doing stand-up, and you're like, I don't have a fucking clue who any of these people are. You know, so they've got this whole new movement. But even the ones that would be considered the sort of the next wave beneath like me would be like Aaron McCann and whoever, but even they're fucking unreal compared to, you know, the ones coming up in the open mic scene below them. I don't know, it's just one of those things. But it's getting better, and I can only measure it by sometimes the difference between the lineups in like Queens, which I thought was an elite comedy club. Sometimes the lineups are the same as they are in fucking Lavery's, you know, so what can you do, bro? Do you do stand-up as well, Mike? The Pav, where fucking banter goes to die. Chris McCullough, is IKEA furniture put on this earth to push divorce rate up? How can you have a cabinet with 800 pieces? Mate, just put it together. It's a fucking, I've never had anything from IKEA that I couldn't just slap together in 2 seconds. They give you the instructions, bro. It's quite easy. Where are we here? All right. Gaffer Cross. I'm watching Nigella on TV. Should I spunk off when she's at the shops in the kitchen or ramming food in her whore bake? Jesus Christ, bro. Just watch porn, you know? I mean, she's one of those ones. She's like, is she hot or is it just that she has big fat titties and she's talking all sexy about fucking kumquats? You know, I imagine her breath smells a lot like garlic. So that's just in my brain. Glenn Fell. What area of Glasgow did you live in? Why did you return to Northern Ireland? We lived in Partick. The first time we moved, and then the second time we went back, we were in some other place. What was it called? Battle? Something? Failures? I don't know. I don't know what either of those places are like. I don't know whether you're from there or what, whether it's a shithole or whatever. But yeah, the first place we lived in was great. Partick, got the fucking jump on the subway, go like 2 stops to the fucking Stan Comedy Club, walk around the corner to your Sainsbury's, and that was amazing. Good spot, we got very lucky. Why did we come home? Because we were just, I was coming back a lot anyway, and Maureen had just had enough of her course. She realised she was doing the wrong thing. I mean, sometimes you gotta fucking go with your gut feeling. She was doing a 4-year course in fashion, was like, I'm not into this. And of course then she stopped, and then in relatively no time, she's now a fucking freelance makeup artist. From going from, I like doing makeup, to, you know, I'm going to do a makeup, like a very expensive makeup course. And then worked in Mac, and then left Mac, and is now just doing it by herself. So there you go, guys. If there's a lesson in anything, it's just go with your gut feelings, guys. You know, if you feel like you need to fucking bounce, just bounce. Also, do you know what killed me in Scotland? That council tax. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It seems so unfair. You're like, here's my rent. And then, for no reason at all, you have to pay. It's like, blah, blah, blah. Oh yeah, you owe another like near £300 a month for council tax. And you're like, for what now? Oh yeah, it's like bins and shit. And you're like, okay. First of all, I can leave my own bin out. Second of all, can you council tax the dog shit away from the fucking front steps, please, mate? Very unfair. Just charge me what... You know, it's like that whole tax on your wages. You know, you're like, don't tell me how much I could have got. Just tell me how much I'm getting. You know, so I'm not sitting there going, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, where is it going? Right, let's move on to the Facebook questions. Will I answer all these? I don't know. I'll nip through them. Who's first? Connell Devlin. Still rocking your Windows phone? No, mate. Got another iPhone. Fuck that thing in the bin. Quick fast. What a pile of shit. I mean, the thing with a Windows phone is, no matter what model you have, if you upgrade the software, you feel like you have a new phone, even though it's not the same shape as the new one. So, yeah, well, the Windows phone is like, yeah, we have a Windows software, and that's going to be it for 10 years. Cormac Hart, how did you get on in the championship this year? I don't even know what the fuck that means, Cormac. Is that a Gaelic football question? I have no idea. Danny Williams, the fella who sits in Belfast with the doll that plays music while he taps a balloon together. How many people has he killed, and when will he strike again? I don't know. That guy does. He's like pushes it around in a fucking promenade. Jesus Christ. Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, Belfast has some weird. I've went on a lot of fucking. I don't know whether it's racist or whatever rants, but you're like. I feel like going. What's the situation? I'm not gonna stop and ask anyone, but like. I was coming out of jiu-jitsu one night, and it was like a Sunday night, 9 o'clock, and I was walking down, what is that street? Is that Hill Street? Castle Street or something? Do you know where you go from like Core Market down past Cafe Vaudeville and all that shit? And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? There was a guy who, and they all looked the same, another racist comment. In each doorway, and there's about 4 of them, and they're all dressed the same, and they all had like this red sleeping bag over the top of them. They had no stuff with them, and they were just lying on their side chilling in the rain. And I don't mean to sound harsh, or you know what I mean, you don't know anyone's situation, but like, I felt like, I was thinking to myself, like, are you really homeless? Because if I was really homeless, I wouldn't just be sitting there lying on the floor with drizzle just hitting me in the face, getting drenched. If I had to spend all night outside, you know, I would definitely try and find some sort of shelter. And I don't know, I was just thinking, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, and like, you know, I don't know much about the homeless fucking scene, but I'm like, homeless people have a few little possessions. You know, if you were legit sleeping rough, you'd have your things gathered up. You'd be like, this is some bits I've put together. I've got like a sleeping bag from somewhere. I've got this from somewhere else. I've got, you know, you'd have little belongings. These guys just were like dressed like me, lying on the street with a fucking blanket over them. And you're like, what's going on here? Guys, I don't know why, where I'm going with this conversation, but, you know, it's like, what do you do? Just lie there in the rain and hope someone gives you money? Or do you think of something clever, like I'm going to get a doll and, you know, do something weird with a balloon? I don't know. Nathan Gonthelia, worst tattoo spotted around NI. Oh, fuck, where do you start? Like, you see it all over the place. From the fucking woman with nine rows of tits on her fat back. You know, and a dolphin carved into her fucking freckles and sunburn. Looks like someone did it with a crayon. Just bad tattoo all over the place. I'll tell you this story though, best story I've ever heard. My ma, when she was a social worker, used to, she still is, I don't know what she does now, some sort of elderly, fuck, I don't know what the fuck. But she told this story once of she had to go with someone to court or whatever, and someone that was also in court, I don't know, some, don't know what the story was. There's this guy basically being fucking questioned, and they were like, oh, we're, you know, they were asking him about his involvement in paramilitary activity, and he's like, nah, I'm not in none of that shit. And the judge went, I would just like to highlight the fact that you have the letters UDA tattooed on your knuckles. And the guy, which is genius really, turned around and said, my dog's called Udda. The dog's called Udda, mate. Isn't that hilarious? So there's all sorts of shit tattoos. I hate when people get like, you know, like, you think someone's a normal person and then they lift their tattoo and got like a Liverpool tattoo and you're like, bro, are you retarded? Like, let's fucking ply forward. Seeing as you love a wee bit of cooking, is there anything you won't eat because it's absolutely bouncing? And that's from Gary Russell. What will I not eat? Very little. Very little I don't eat. There's certain things I sort of, like, I'll be honest, I'll eat fucking most things, you know, that would be regarded as normal food. One thing I don't like, that I wish I did like, is lamb. I just don't, there's something about it, that sort of fatty, weird, I just don't like that taste. I don't mind it if it's like, in like an Indian form, where they've torched it with fire and fucking covered it in spice, where it really masks that, whatever that lamby taste is that I don't like. Other than that, nah, I'll eat fucking anything, to be honest with you. So there you go. I used to hate like mushrooms and shit, and now I literally can't get enough of them. If I was a vegetarian, it would be one of the few things that would get me through being a vegetarian. If you eat those big fucking huge mushrooms, it's like eating a steak. Joe Miller, women comedians. Listen, if you're funny, you're funny. I really don't think it matters if you're a man or a woman. If you're funny, you're funny. But my theory is, if you look at how many male comedians there is, there might be like 5 or 10% of those that are genuinely really funny. And the ratio of men to women in stand-up is about fucking, you know, for every 100 male comedians, there's probably like 5 girls who barely try and do it. So the percentage of them that's going to be funny is very, very small. So the reason you think women comedians are shit is because there aren't that many of them. And just like male comedians, not that many of them are genuinely really funny. So that's probably why people have a bad fucking opinion of them. Also, you know, a lot of men being funny is trying to get the ride. You know, you're an ugly cunt and you cover it up by trying to be funny to compensate for being just fucking horrible to look at. You know, if you're fucking ugly as fuck, but you're funny and have money and all that shit, someone's gonna ride you. Whereas if you're a girl, someone's gonna ride you. That's the law for you. Someone's gonna buck you no matter how you look. And you won't have to make any effort at all. You know, you don't have to, you know, wear a nice shirt or any of that shit. Pull up in a nice car, flash your cash, and then someone's gonna buck you. Nah. Just pull them flaps apart, let someone crawl in. Even if you look like that girl with a fucking dolphin tattooed in her back, whatever. Go for it. Sexist stuff from Colin, but it's true. Matthew Foster, now Halloween is out of the way, are you looking forward to all the great Christmas food or overeating on pure shite for over a month? I can't wait. Oh, and all the alcohol too. Well, I always say, like, I feel comfortable at Christmas because it's the only time of year people will eat as much as I do. But Christmas is good, yeah. I like, my favourite thing to do is at Christmas is people go, you know, do you want Brussels sprouts? And they're like, no, they're disgusting. And I go, listen, you haven't even eaten them properly. People don't like Brussels sprouts because all people do is boil them. You know what I mean? If I was just to cut carrots into wee chunks and boil them and be like, eat that, you'd be like, not that into it. You know, cover it in oil and salt and pepper and roast the fucking thing. And everyone's like, oh, these carrots taste like sweets. And you're like, yeah, you haven't had them cooked properly before, you cunt. No one likes Brussels sprouts until you fucking, like, cover them in bacon and cranberry sauce and fry the shit out of them. And everyone's like, oh my God, they're to die for. And you're like, wait till you eat them farts tomorrow. Marty Goodall, when you're writing a joke or sketch and finished, who do you try the material on before you go on stage, or do you just fuck it and hope for the best? No, you don't try it on anybody. Like, I mean, oh my God, here we go. Anybody, you just get into it. You find your, it's such a fucking shit expression. They call it like finding your voice. You know, you could probably say to Mickey Bartlett, like, Mickey, write a joke about, write some material about, like, women's periods, and he's gonna do Mickey's version of a funny joke about that, same way I would do my, and you just get into the rhythm of what works for you. It takes a wee while to figure it out, like, but you know, I can sort of just, this sounds, you could sort of make anything funny for you, if that makes sense. And what's funny for me might not be funny if fucking Rory Woods repeated the material. You know, everyone has their own fucking thing. Kieran Bartlett's wild for trying stuff on people right before he goes on stage. Hopefully he doesn't hear this and attack me. Why are people working in Benjamin Botanics so anal about you ordering a takeout bowl but sitting in? I'm still paying for it. And if anything, doing them a favour by saving them from having to wash up. I actually helped Shane Todd film a little, well, we're sort of working in with Bujum. They're going to do some, what do you call it? Branded content type work, where we get to make videos and they get to pay for it. You're welcome. We did a video called the Real Bujum Addict, which is going to be out on Thursday, as far as I know, via Bujum. So you can keep your eye out for that. It's funny. Yeah, people do get weird about that. It's the same as me. If I go into a coffee shop and they go, are you sitting in or taking out? I like to get the coffee in the cup, in the plastic cup or the paper cup. Because, do you know what I mean? I can make coffee in a cup at home. I like to feel like I've bought a coffee somewhere. So I'm like, give me it in the wee paper cup. I like it. And I actually say to them, give me it in the takeaway cup, but I'll pay the fucking sit-in cup fee if you want me to. You know, I just like it in the paper cup. So there's probably like a slight charge for you to sit in, is there? But they charge less, and I don't know what the fucking crack is. But then again, there is no washing up in those places. They give you your food. Like a burrito is one of the messiest fucking things you could ever eat. And they give it to you on like a piece of bog roll. And you're like, bro, can I have a fucking plate? You know, if I'm going to sit in, I don't want to have to fucking go and have a bath after I eat this shit. Give me on a plate with a knife and fork. You know, you're holding that arse end of a fucking wet nappy burrito and it's like pissing down your elbow. And they've literally give you like an ashtray and a hanky. And you're like, what the fuck's going on here, bro? Or fucking bro, amigo, or whatever they call you. Anyway, David Doherty, would you wear one of those English war poppies that James McLean never fucks up about? Or more recently, McGregor has said something about? Or are you old school Brits out kind of cat? Why is this always such a sticky situation? Right? I get everyone's opinion here, right? James McLean is obviously from Derry, where he's, you know, I'm sure beneath it all he's mad up the rah, but you know, he's basically saying this has over time signified something very different to the people of Derry, the Catholic Republican people of Derry. And I'm like, that's fine. And if it's a matter of, you know, you don't want to offend the people where you're from, you know, it's one of those things. Derry's probably still so fucking touchy politically, where it's like, if he was aware of that, you know, next minute his parents' house gets hit with fucking paint bombs and shit. I get that. And even if McGregor's one where he's like, yeah, I've got the fucking thing on, but like, you know, it's gonna mean different things to everybody. You know, he's like, oh, it's all people, all wars. Then you're like, well, fair enough, that makes sense too. And he's like, he's probably wearing it for, if he's wearing it for that, you know, like just to remember all the people that fought. And then at the end of his statement, he's like, fuck you and your queen. Fuck you and the queen. You're like, well, yeah, sort of like, I get that too. It's like, why can't you remember the actual soldiers? You know, without being this fucking Brit-loving, God save the queen type of person. But then, here's what fucks me off most about the whole thing. Why do you have to wear it? It's like, you know, do I have respect for fucking, you know, people who were drafted into war and had fights and lost their lives and whatever? Yeah, I have respect for that. You know, it's not a, you know, all those wars, you know, World War II and all that shit, it's like everyone was drafted in. It wasn't really, you know, it wasn't like, you know, you joined the British Army just because you were a fucking loyalist. Everyone fucking went. So you're like, yeah, I do respect that. But also, I'll fucking wear it if I want. You know, it's like, get the fuck out of my face. It's hard for, you know, no matter what you think politically, it's like, you know, I don't give a fuck. With all due respect, I'm like, so? I've got to go to the fucking shop and get one and put it on and be like, yes, you know, you should be able to just be neutral. I've tried to remain neutral on a whole pile of things, including like people asking me to do charity gigs and me going, no, because, you know, next minute I'm going to do one of the, you know, I'm not mentioning anything in particular, but I'm going to be like, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to fucking later on say something, and then it's going to be like, can you believe he did this charity gig and then made a joke about that thing later on? And, you know, I just keep my hands clean of all of it, and then it allows me to say whatever the fuck I want without getting on anyone's tits. But I just don't know why you can't just be like, listen, I'm neutral. I don't want to wear it because I don't want the fuss of having to fucking explain. You know what I mean? I don't know why people wouldn't respect your choice just to be like, listen, I don't even feel like I have to comment on it, but I'm just not wearing one. Weird. It's a weird fucking setup. That you put a wee flower in your fucking top and everyone loses their shit. Would you wear one? I mean, I can remember wearing one in school where like you would go to like a remembrance fucking thing, and some cunt would come out and like all that shit. And you'd be trying not to laugh because it was such a ridiculous situation. You'd fucking buy a poppy for 20p and then it was in the bin 10 minutes later. But I don't feel strong enough about it, because in all honesty, I'm detached. I'm completely detached from any of that shit. You know, I don't really have any family members that were in the fucking war, any of that shit. So it's like, nah, I'm all right. You know, if it was at something where it was like fucking, you know, the funeral of a family member who was in the fucking war, and there was everyone, you know, you'd this is the time and a place to wear it. But I feel like all the rest of the time, it's like, you know, if you want to remain neutral, why does everyone give you shit? Anyway, let's move on. I think I have a problem with anyone being forced to do anything. And that stems from me being a young child. My mom always said that. She's like, you have a major problem with people telling you what to do. And I was like, yeah, I'm a rebel. Don't even worry about it. David Ogilvy, are you watching Daniel and Magella's B&B road trip? I'm not. Is it on? Has it started already? Because I would really like to see it. He freaks me out. No offense to... I know I've worked with people who are related to him. There's something about him. He's just like... He's so soft. I don't know how to explain it. He's so like lovely and soft, and it's almost like feminine, but not in a gay way. It's like he's genuinely like a lovely old lady, but he's a man. You know? I feel like if you went, Daniel, can you give me a hand lifting this washing machine? He'd be like, oh, no, I can't. You know, I've got my good slacks on and it'll hurt my hands. Anyway, no, but I would love to get into it. Let's get on it. iPlayer, that shit. Mark Elliott. Any live podcasts in the pipeline? We mainly only do them at Lavery's. I wonder, should we take them around the place? I don't know. Would anyone even fucking go? Probably not. The next one. Let me check there. Diarrhea. Hold on. That's Spanish for diary, by the way. Oh my God, work. Oh my God, open. You piece of shit. I've stockpiled these notebooks that I got in B&M bargains. They're great. Softback. Okay, the next General Banter podcast set for Lavery's Comedy Club is on the 20th of January. That feels like it's ages away, bro. But, yeah, that's when the next one is. So, there you go. Or you can come down to Lavery's anytime, really, whatever, you know. We're also thinking of doing a collaborative podcast. I say we, I'm thinking about it, but whatever. Okay. Let's rattle out these last three. What do you think of these three tits? I watched this link last night. Matthew Dowd sent me a link of these three guys from Lisburn rapping. I gotta say, mate, not into it. And if you're gonna be a white rapper, you gotta go like Beastie Boys, where it's like loads of fun. You know, and you're kind of half taking the piss out of the fact you're white. As soon as, you know, or like an Action Bronson where you're like, Jesus Christ, he is a slick lyricist, cool as shit. You know, you don't get these fucking cunts from Lisburn, like fucking... You know, what was the line the guy said? Something like, yeah, Dad always buying me presents when the only present I wanted was your presence. And it's like, there's no beat behind it. It's all like spoken word. And I was watching, I was like, oh my God, boys, come on now. Here's how you get away with being a white rapper. You make the beats lethal, and then you just say some stupid shit over the top. Don't ever take yourself seriously. Don't be like, yeah, I'm hard as fuck, mate. Standing in Lisburn, fucking at McDonald's, better to take me. Shut up. Right, last two questions. Helen Larvin, is the food in Lavery's good? Not that I'm endorsed by Lavery's, but the food is tremendous, yes. Last question, Stephen Healy. Why did you dodge the Coleraine gig? Did you mean to say ditch there? Yeah, here's what happened. Here's a wee story for you. Monday night, last night, Shane Todd was headlining Coleraine Comedy Club. Not Coleraine Comedy Club. Cass Comedy Club, which is at the university. It's in the union. And he was going back and forth with me, talking about the guy that was running it. And he was saying, like, oh, the guy was going to either MC himself or get someone to MC who'd had, like, two gigs. And it was him, Aaron McCann, Dave Elliott, were going up. And he was saying, like, he was worried about who was going to MC. And I said to him, after having a few pints, I was like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, I was just like, I'll go up for the crack. As a favour to Shane, because he was worried about the MC, which is a job that is actually fairly important. And I said, yeah, I'll fucking do it. And he goes, right, okay. Now, Shane was going to fucking... I probably wouldn't have taken it, but he was like, oh, I'll give you whatever money, you know, just as a, you know, for doing it. And I was like, I wouldn't have taken it. Like, I was doing it as a favour. I was like, yeah, well, I'll come up. And then the whoever was running the gig obviously said to him, like, oh, we're going to get this guy as an MC, or I'm going to MC, who was inexperienced. And Shane said, oh, no, you don't need to. Colin Gillis is going to do it. Now, I know he probably told him that to be like, listen, don't worry about an MC. Colin's going to do it as a favour, or probably didn't even say a favour. But as soon as the guy got fucking wind of that, I'm on the poster, like a fucking, you know, big picture of Shane, big picture of me. And it's like a double kick in the bollocks. It's like, first of all, it's Shane's gig. He's headlining it. So for sure, make sure he's the fucking, the main draw. It's like Shane's gig. Don't all of a sudden slap me on the poster like it's a double header. Shane Todd and Colin Geddes. And I know it's like, I'm sure he's like, oh, fucking right, he's going to do it. And I'm sure they're, you know, I'm sure he did that thinking that, oh, more people are going to go. And then I was just like, do you know what? That is such a fucking dickhead move. I was like, I was doing it as a favour to Shane initially. And now you're just like sticking me in a poster as more bait for a fucking, to get more people down. I was like, mate, that's cheeky. You want me down, you book me and you pay me to come down. You don't just get word of that because I'm doing it as a favour and be like, guys, Colin Geddes is going to be here. And also Shane Todd. Like, I would feel, I don't know, I feel like a bit of kicking the balls for Shane. I don't know, it was weird. I was like, I'm not doing that shit. It went from, you know, you're doing a favour, you're going to sneak up, do MC, to all of a sudden you're massive on the poster beside the headliner. You're like, no, that's not how it works, mate. So I had to pull out of it. I'm sure you were gutted, Stephen Healy. But if the guy wants to fucking book me, you know, and the way it would work is you go up, someone MCs, and there's good support. You can't go up and fucking someone who's on their second gig ever MCs a gig. Good fucking luck. And then you got 15 guys trying stand up. You're like, this is a nightmare. The people that have paid in to see it are not going to enjoy themselves. So there you go, that's why I sort of decided to pull out of that one. I'm sorry if anyone was fucking let down, however, it was badly handled. Run the comedy gig, see, it's easy and it's hard all at the same time. So whatever, maybe he'll book me to come up and headline. Last time I did it, I had no voice, so I'd happily do it again. Done properly, of course. We've run on to a minute. An hour 16, fuck me, getting your money's worth this week, guys, aren't you? What? So, I'm going to go here. Make sure you go to Lavery's on the 4th, Wednesday the 4th there. Cheers for listening this week. Congats.com, blah, 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 all that shit. And I'll speak to you soon.
Take her easy, yes, cunts, yes.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.